This episode was recorded prior to Sian Lloyd Roberts taking up a secondment with Welsh Government.
Hello and welcome to the People and Skills podcast brought to you by Business News Wales. I'm Gemma Casey, editor of Business News Wales, and in this mini-series we're exploring the work of regional skills partnerships across Wales, looking at how each region is responding to the skills challenges facing businesses and communities. In this episode, we're focusing on North Wales. With 37% of vacancies hard to fill due to skills shortages, growing demand in digital and green sectors, and major investment programmes reshaping the regional economy, how do we make sure a skills strategy translates into real solutions for employers on the ground? Well, with me to discuss this are two guests from the North Wales Regional Skills Partnership, Sian Lloyd Roberts, Regional Skills Manager, and David Roberts, Chair. Well, hi both, and thank you very much for joining me for this special episode. David, I'll start with you if I can. Can you, first of all, outline for us what the Regional Skills Partnership, or RSP, is and what it does?
Yes, I'd be very happy to, Gemma. So the Regional Skills Partnership, certainly in North Wales, has been in existence for over 10 years. It's one of four such strategic bodies across Wales, as you know, that are driven by Welsh Government mandate. As an organisation, we comprise a wide range of partners from our educational institutions, the universities, the colleges, independent providers, as well as other governmental organisations such as Careers Wales, DWP and others. But then importantly, the body has strong links with business, which I know we'll come on to talk more about. But the partnership, therefore, embraces our key membership organisations, such as the Chamber, the FSB, and other sectoral representative bodies, such that we ensure we've got the mouthpiece of businesses. So the RSP, as I describe it, is there to help orchestrate skills delivery across the region. It has a key role to play in understanding the demand for skills and employment within the economy, and both presently as well as well into the future, and then helping the providers, if you will, to orientate their offerings such that we can best meet those skills requirements. And so I describe the RSP as an orchestra leader in many ways.
And David, is there anything that makes the North Wales model particularly unique? You've mentioned there are four across Wales. I'm sure there are many synergies. Is there anything that's really different about the way that it works in North Wales?
Well, I mean, the four bodies will operate along similar lines, I have no doubt. Clearly, each region of Wales has its own particular ways of working, and the setup of other organisations will vary, I'm sure, from one part of the country to the next. And I can't say I have an intimate understanding of, you know, each other region, but certainly in terms of North Wales, one of the things we're very proud of is the natural collaboration that takes place. The landscape is, yes, it's complex in many ways, but in other ways is quite straightforward. We have two universities, we have two colleges. As organisations, they get along very well indeed. We have the CJC that's in existence, which again, I'm sure we'll come on to discuss a bit more. So Ambition North Wales, that sits across the six authorities. So it's not to say that there isn't complexity, of course there is, but I think that by and large, as a region, we function very well indeed. So I'd see that as a real plus point for the North Wales RSP.
And you mentioned in your answer there about the fact that the RSP needs to be future looking and horizon scanning, as well as obviously planning for now. And in my introduction, I alluded to the fact that North Wales is home to very many major economic programmes at the moment. So you've just talked about the growth deal. There's also an investment zone, Freeport AI growth zone, and so on. How does the RSP ensure that skills are embedded at the start of economic policy and not something that's reverse engineered at a later date?
Well, I would say that the key answer to that is that the RSP sits under the auspices of Ambition North Wales, so our corporate joint committee, and I think that's absolutely vital. So the RSP is part of that apparatus and is therefore directly plugged into those activities that are being driven or facilitated by the CJC. So that gives us relevance, it gives a directness, and it does ensure that skills, quite rightly, is part of the conversation very early on. And you're quite right to point out everything that's going on in North Wales right now. I mean, it's hard not to be excited, to be honest. You mentioned a few there, but from west to east, from Freeport to offshore tidal to offshore wind, onshore wind, SMR announcements, AI growth zone coming down the tracks towards us, growth deal more generally, investment zone. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we're tremendously excited about the economic potential that all of these programs will deliver over several years to come. And I would say the RSP is right at the center of those conversations in trying to understand the particular skills needs and the skills benefits that will come from each of those large scale initiatives.
It is an exciting time, isn't it? Gosh, when you start to list them out like that, it's incredible how much is going on. And I know that we will dig into that in a bit more detail later on. But Sean, to bring you in here, I'm really interested in finding out a little bit more to build on what David has said there. What is the RSP's role when it comes to bringing together businesses, employers, and those skills providers that you've got in the region?
I think for us, Gemma, it's how we do it in North Wales is we connect everything together. So we connect the employers with the skills providers. So essentially, we're not sitting separately talking about skills while, economic decisions happening elsewhere in the region. And going back to what David said earlier on, we're part of those conversations early on in terms of economic development, what employers are saying are needed now and in the future, and really providing that bridge between what employers are saying are needed and translating that to our skills providers, to our colleges, to our universities, and to our apprenticeship providers, just to get those messages across around what type of skills are needed now for employers. And also, more crucially, really taking that forward look in terms of what employers need in the future. So I think it's all about making sure that we bring people together, essentially employers, colleges, universities, and we act as that connector. Because at the end of the day, no single organisation can do this on their own. Employers can do it on their own. The colleges and universities can't do it on their own. And it's all about bringing everything together and provided that strong voice to make sure we've got that strong curriculum in the region that responds to need.
And Sean, what are some of those core skills that employers are calling for at the moment?
So at the moment, Gemma, they're really, a lot of it, them are around those work-ready skills, those skills needed to come into a role, be that team working, critical thinking, being able to communicate effectively. Those are some core skills needs that we're seeing across all our sectors. Of course, we've got 9 key and growth sectors that we're working with across the North Wales Regional Skills Partnership, ranging from tourism and hospitality through to energy and environment to health and social care. So I would say those are the key core skills that are coming out really strongly. Hand in hand with that, across all sectors, we're hearing the need for those digital skills. So those advanced digital skills, but also those basic digital skills are in strong need. And we've done quite a lot of work on this over the last few years. We do have a digital skills cluster group that leads on that work. And those include people from across all our key and growth sectors who sit down and discuss, right, what skills do we need when we're talking about basic skill, digital skills needs? What advanced skills needs do you have as employers? And we've done quite a lot of research in regards to that as well. So that's been a really handy piece of work to share with our colleges, with the university, with Welsh Government itself, actually, in regards to how the sectors are changing, what skills they are seeing are needed in the future, and how we can plan more effectively across the region for those needs.
And Sean, you mentioned planning there, and that's a really key point, isn't it? Because linking back to what David and I were talking about a few minutes ago in terms of all those major economic developments that are going on in the region, we know that there will be, for example, the small modular reactor at Anglesey, the UK's first, and that's just one example of this great stuff coming down the track. How do you horizon scan, Sian, in terms of working out what employers locally are going to be asking you for in 5 or 10 years' time?
And that's a really good question. That's a big piece of work we've started over the last year, actually. And I'm sure David will come in to say a little bit more from his perspective here. But our focus has been very much on speaking to those large developers across the region, but not just speaking to those large developers such as GB Energy Nuclear and Rolls-Royce SMR and RWE on the renewable side. We're also trying to speak to their supply chain as well, those smaller SMEs in regards to the skills needed. So what we've done is we've sat down with those developers, with supply chain, and to start to map out, right, so how many jobs are going to be created by Wilde SMR, as an example. Then we're trying to help them in terms of understanding what those, how those jobs relate then to skills needs. And then what we try and do is map them across. So we do have quite a big spreadsheet going on where we've mapped all those economic development investments, those big capital investments into the region that we've just spoken about now, and see what jobs are going to be created when, what the timescales are, what are the types of skills needs are needed. And what we're seeing is there could be some pinch points in some years in regards to, for example, construction skills, when we know there will be quite a few of those large scale infrastructure capital investments happening across the region. So there could be some pinch points in some areas in terms of construction sector. But also what we're seeing from that work that we're doing across the region is that we're seeing that quite a lot of these skills are transferable skills from different sectors. So you could have a growth deal project going on in one part of the region requiring certain skills, and they could be exactly the same skills needed in terms of GB Energy Nuclear SMR developments. So it's about making sure that we've got this one big picture of what's happening in North Wales, and we've taken into consideration what the requirements are across the whole region, really. And we're sense checking that quite regularly with our employers, with our cluster groups. I mentioned the cluster groups earlier on. We've got quite a few cluster groups in each of our key and growth sectors, whereby we ask them directly, what are your skills needs? How is, example, how we share information in regards to the big investments that are coming into the region. How do you see yourselves fitting into that investment as employers, as the supply chains, as SMEs who will be supporting some of these capital investments? So we're constantly talking to employers and getting their input into that so we can shape what's happening as well in the future in terms of skills investments and also provision.
Thank you, Sian. And David, to bring you in there, how challenging is it for the RSP to balance those immediate employer needs of you know, what they need to keep their business running today with that long-term workforce planning?
Yeah, well, as Sian's very well articulated there. I mean, it is, you know, that's quite a big bit of work, but you know, our intention is to be as you know, good as we can at that. I mean, effectively, that's a region-wide workforce plan. You know, some things have a timeline of 5-10 years out, and as you say, some things, you know, are a here and now requirement. And the important thing is that needs to be a dynamic piece of work, clearly. We need to have a mechanism by which that is, you know, being updated and improved all the time. Sian touched on the sort of business side of that and ensuring that we really understand the SME community in particular is key. It's sometimes difficult to look too far ahead when you're a small business. I'm actually an HR practitioner by background. I, you know how hard this is. If someone was to say, you know, tell me what your skills needs are going to be in 10 years' time, it's a pretty impossible question to answer. So, you know, we need to support businesses in being able to do their own workforce planning as effectively as possible. And that for me is where membership organizations come into play. There's only so many SMEs that the RSP, for instance, can directly interact with. We need to leverage the strong relationships we have with the likes of the Chamber of Commerce, the Federation of Small Businesses, the Institute of Directors, you know, all of which have many, many businesses within their membership. And so, you know, leaning into the membership organisations to help us develop that picture, I think, is absolutely vital.
And Sean, we've talked about what employers are telling you about their needs, both now and going into the future. But thinking about the workforce, whether that's people that are already in work in North Wales, but also the future workforce and those learners, how easy or otherwise is it to engage with those in terms of future skills? So, you know, we're told, aren't we, that children who are in school today, a lot of the jobs that they will be doing maybe haven't even been invented yet. So what's the scale of the challenge from your point of view, Sean, in terms of engaging learners on that future skills piece?
I'd say that the scale of that challenge is quite huge, to be honest with you. And yeah, you're completely right. You know, I'm thinking about my own son who's in just started secondary school, and I know a job that he will go into in North Wales, hopefully, hasn't even been created yet. So how do we get those messages to those people, such as my son, to those people in the colleges at the moment? Because we've got so many exciting opportunities happening in North Wales, so many jobs created across various sectors, a lot of capital investments coming into the region. But how do we get those messages to the learners is the key topic that we always come to in some of our RSP meetings. Whilst the RSP itself is very much focused in its remit from Welsh Government on post-16, a lot of our conversations actually come back to the pre-16 and how we can get messages from employers into schools at a much earlier age, I would say a primary school age. And it's all around showing those visible pathways into those different sectors to let young people know that there will be jobs created, engineering jobs created via Wilbur SMR in the future. And just getting that information in regards to transferable work skills and those work ready skills as well. I think that's a key one coming from all employers, really. If we can make sure that an individual who is finishing school, college, university has those work ready skills, then an employer can train them in terms of the skills needed for that particular job. So that's a key message that we're always trying to ensure that we give those individuals. So we're lucky in North Wales that we've set up a North Wales Skills Portal, which is really a one-stop shop, I would call it, for both individuals and for employers. And it's a place that people can come to understand more around the skills provision in the region, what we've got on offer in terms of upskilling, reskilling opportunities. So we've got all of these in the region, and the one-stop shop is there for individuals and for employers to tap into. It also gives you the type of pathways into the different sectors, and it gives you information in regards to labour market information, information that individuals are really looking for in terms of understanding what jobs and opportunities are here in the region. So we're trying to make it easier for those individuals by giving them that information. That portal is shared with Careers Wales, who also obviously have a huge role in terms of careers advice across schools and colleges and universities, and also the adults population as well. So we are sharing that portal information with our partners, with our schools quite regularly, but it's around making sure those pathways are visible for those individuals and that they're clearly articulated so individuals understand what they need to do if they want to go into a certain sector.
Thank you, Sian. David, you wanted to come in there.
I was just a couple of points I was going to add to what Sian said. I mean, this is the area, you know, one of the areas as an RSP we're very focused on developing. As Sian says, technically the RSP's remit is post 16. That said, you know, we're definitely finding the direction of travel is back upstream, if you like, and figuring out how we can support the schools in particular. I suppose there's a couple of things to add. I mean, Sian's quite rightly pointed out, how do we impart information to our young people? At the end of the day, part of the challenge is there's such a wide array of options and opportunities for people nowadays, and it can be bewildering. So the first point I probably make, particularly for young children, is it's about those cross-cutting skills again, isn't it? And not getting too bogged down, so to speak, in one very technical course or direction, but to think about those broad skill developments. The other action I think we need to take is to figure out how we better inform the influencers in young people's lives. You know, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, you know, these are the people that are going to be shaping the early thoughts that young people have around careers. So we need to figure out how we do that. But then one thing I'd point to that is potentially really beneficial is the new Welsh curriculum, of course, or relatively new Welsh curriculum, which has embedded in it a careers and work related element, which at some point, I'm a governor of a primary school, and I know from my own primary school, we're yet to really grip this, but hopefully over the next few years, all schools will be figuring out how they can bring that careers and work-related element of the curriculum to life in their own contexts. And that, for me, would be a vehicle through which to try and, you know, impart some of this information to young people. And the RSP needs to, you know, step up and offer support to other agencies, such as Careers Wales, for instance, to help schools bring that to life, because I think that will be part of the answer as well.
And David, something else Sian said, I wanted to pick up on with you. Sian mentioned her own son and how Sian hopes that his future career will go on to be in North Wales. Now, I know that lots of parts of Wales, particularly rural Wales, have traditionally suffered from what we colloquially call the brain drain. How important is it to the RSP that all of this work is contributing towards stemming that flow of talent across the border?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. Now, you know, I'd be the first one as someone that was a product of their early career moving around myself. You know, there's clearly benefits to be had by broadening horizons and gaining experiences elsewhere. So I wouldn't argue against that. And that said, it'd be great to keep more of our own people here in North Wales. And of course, it'd be great to have a nice tidal flow of returners to North Wales. So, you know, this is really important, not just for providing high value careers for young people that want to stay within North Wales. You know, there needs to be the opportunities for them, and there are, and our job is to communicate and inspire. But there is a more significant point here for me, which is ultimately with all the opportunities that are coming towards North Wales, my belief is we are going to need more people, literally more people in the system, so to speak. So we need returners, we need people staying in North Wales in order to fulfil all the opportunities that will exist. Which gets me on to a broader point, which is, you know, my personal view is there should not be a young person in North Wales that is not hopeful for having a fruitful life and career here in North Wales. You know, and I think we should set ourselves a lofty goal in that regard. We currently have still, I think, Sian will correct me if I'm wrong, but something around 9,500 young people as defined between ages of 16 and 24 that are NEETs, so not in education, employment or training. We should challenge ourselves to get that number as close to zero as possible, you know, and buck every trend in the UK in that regard. And so that's about inspiration, isn't it? It's about communication, inspiration, and of course, creating the circumstances for people to access jobs and roles that exist. So the skills agenda very much goes hand in hand with digital connectivity, very much goes hand in hand with transport and infrastructure development, so that young people can get to the jobs that do exist. So we've got a, which is another reason why it's important that the RSP is plugged directly into the broader work of the Corporate Joint Committee, because the Corporate Joint Committee has a statutory right, obligation around transportation. So it's important these conversations and initiatives associated with them are hand in glove with each other.
Now, we've talked a lot there about some of the incredible opportunities coming down the road for North Wales, but I'm really interested as we come to the end of this episode to ask you both for an area where you feel really proud of what the RSP in North Wales has achieved already, and also any areas where you think that there's still scope to be a bit braver or more ambitious. So I suppose your hopes for the future as well. Sean, can I start with you?
Yeah, so I'd say I'm really proud of how collaborative North Wales is and the North Wales Regional Skills Partnership is. I think that's probably one of our unique selling points, really, if I'm honest. A lot of the developers will come to us now and see us as that connector between the colleges and the universities to play that role of being collaborative. Can be quite difficult sometimes because partners have different agendas, they have different priorities. And I would say that I'm proud of the fact that we are trusted in this space and skills, that they do approach us. They see us as somebody who can be that honest broker between what their needs are as developers, but also the schools and the colleges and the universities also approach us to be that honest broker. So I think there's a genuine willingness around working together across all the sectors here in North Wales. And that's not something you can take for granted, really. And we've worked really hard as an RSP to get to that stage. So I'd say I'm quite proud of that, to be honest with you.
And your hopes for the future, Sean, for the RSP, or any areas where you think that you can aim even higher?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the hope for the future, I think what we really need to aspire is to probably think longer term. I think because we work in cycles, and usually that's aligned to Welsh Government cycles, it's sometimes very difficult to work on things longer term. So I think we should be braver and work on things longer term. You know, the work we're doing requires 5-10 years, I think, of working on some things when we're working on getting the right skills pipeline for the jobs created in the region. So I think we need to be braver in terms of thinking longer term, especially in areas such as digital and renewables and green skills, because change is happening really quickly there. But we need to think longer term in terms of those changes as well and how we can provide that help there. Also to make sure that we scale what works here and don't just keep it locally in some areas across North Wales. You know, we've got some good working models here, I think, that we could scale up across the whole region. Some of the work we've done on Pre-16 in Anglesey, for example, to map some of the career pathways. Really interested to see if we can be braver and do that across the whole of North Wales. So I think there's a lot to be done, again, and how we can be braver in some instances.
Thank you, Sean. And David, the same two questions to you. What are you particularly proud of, and what are your hopes for the RSP moving forward?
I think in terms of the particularly proud, I would echo Sean's point around collaboration, but I'd go a little bit deeper, because that's down to relationships at the end of the day. As I said right at the start of this program, the RSP, you know, is a relatively small team, and I see it as a bit of an orchestra leader. So, you know, it is not there to do the work of everyone else, right, for them. So the effectiveness of the RSP and then our ability to deliver on the skills front is absolutely to do with relationships, and it's to do with influence, and it's to do with respect, and it's to do with at times being a critical friend, and at times pointing out where things could be done differently or better or more simplistically. You don't get the right to do that sort of thing automatically, right? You know, any organization is not sort of, you know, born with that as a, you know, in its gift. That only comes through creating relationships, trust-based relationships, and having a pragmatism and an approach that maintains those relationships over the long term. So we shouldn't underestimate that, you know, in any walk of life or situation, that takes time. And we should be proud and never complacent about the fact that the RSP, certainly here in the North, has a good position in that regard. It's a respected organization. In terms of, you know, going forward, I'd make a slightly different point to Sian's. I think you know, the SME community, you know, we've touched on it a couple of times in this discussion. You know, they're, at the end of the day, the Welsh economy is built on the back of SMEs. 90%+ of organisations are SMEs. And, you know, it can sometimes be hard for those organisations to access the skills provision. And we need to, there are many that do, and there will be many that don't, and we need to work or redouble our efforts to understand, you know, what gets in the way, what are the barriers to SMEs accessing the skills provision that we have in North Wales, which I believe is very, very strong. You know, we need to create the circumstances through which as many organisations as possible can tap into that as timely and as easily as possible. So I think we've got work still to do there.
Thank you, David. Well, that was a whistle-stop tour of what is a really big subject around skills in North Wales and all the opportunities coming down the track for the North Wales economy. Thank you very much to my guests, David Roberts and Sian Lloyd Roberts of the North Wales Regional Skills Partnership. And thank you for listening.